Hey, hey, this is Rebbitzin Bevkind Grossman from the Connected for Real podcast, and I want you to have access to the Marriage Breakthrough Retreat right here in your ears. If you would like to access all of the links, workbook, or get your free one-on-one with me, go to connectedforreal.com/retreat. Enjoy. Welcome to the Marriage Breakthrough Retreat, day one. We are going to have the most amazing time. First of all, because I'm really excited. I told someone that I think this is the last one I'm going to be doing because I am coming up with new things to do and I'm getting a little bit playful with ideas. So I feel like this is the last one and I'm feeling a little bit like emotional about that. But I think because of that, I'm going to also be giving it my all and it just keeps getting better. So I'm excited about this. Okay. A couple of things is we are going to be having a workbook. If you didn't print it out, make sure to print it out because this is so, 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 so powerful. This is an asset that you are going to be going back to all the time. Women who have been here multiple times and they just keep coming back say that every time they do it, it gets more and more rich and it gives them more and more insights into their own life. So it's just something that keeps growing with you. And I feel like it's, you know, it's chaval to be like, oh, just do it online. You can do it. I mean, it's a link. It will open on your computer. But there's something really powerful about writing. You know me already. If you've been following me on Instagram, I love to write. I love to use my hands so that the, you know, brain, eye, hand coordination thing is working. It's really, really amazing what can happen. So good for you. All those people who have their workbooks, you get a gold star right there. Another thing I want to say before we start, this is a 7-day retreat. So what that means is that 1 hour a day, we're going to get on Zoom, same time, same place for 7 days. But we do have a break for Friday and Shabbos, Friday and Saturday. We are not going to be meeting, not Friday, not Saturday, just because that those are days I don't work. And I also believe that everybody needs a break. Also, the way that I designed the retreat is that the first 4 days are the calm method, which is the method I created. I'll tell you all about it. And then after that, I want you to take a couple of days to really implement, to really feel it, get into your life, right? So I'm going to take those days to really let you sort of simmer into it. And then we have the next 3 days, which are very hot topics that I felt like I had to address, especially since no one else was addressing them. One of them is enhancing your intimacy, and we get really into it without talking about it. So I'm very delicate and I get a lot of wonderful feedback about how I'm able to, you know, integrate the holiness of the subject and also, you know, the practicality of, okay, so tachlis, what do I do? How do I make it feel better and work better? So that's on Sunday. That's usually my most popular day. Surprise, surprise. Then on Monday, there's design the atmosphere in your of your home. And that is very, very important. So again, super helpful and hot topic. And the last day is when we bring it all together and it's a really beautiful meditation. So I highly recommend it. So that was just an overview. I'll address a question that comes up every single time. Why is this free? This should not be free. This is way too much content. You're giving away for free. It's not okay. So it is okay, first of all, because I am doing it willingly and you are receiving it willingly. So there is no problem here. Also, I feel very, very called to give this information for free because I felt like it was lacking when I needed it. And it's very frustrating for me. I'm looking for the right words. It's very frustrating for me when there is a freebie, when somebody is giving away something for free and says, oh, here, I'm going to give you a meal. And you come hungry. You're like, okay, I'm ready. And then it's like, great, you got a taste. Okay, well, in order to finish your plate, you'd like, you know, we'd like you to pay whatever amount. And I was like, ah, right. Like I was like this close to it. And it frustrates me every time. And I'm, you know, a consumer of freebies because I just love to learn. So I end up signing up to the programs that give me freely and willingly and just like, here, take it all. Now, do you want help implementing it? Great. So I feel like that is the model that works for me. I love that concept of just being able to give freely. And I do it with my whole heart. And I really, really love you guys. So this is going to be the entire roadmap. Everything you need to know. I'm giving you the method. I'm giving you the steps. I'm giving you everything you need. And I'm doing it all with lots of love. Okay. And it's because God has called me to do this. I feel very aligned. I don't feel resentful that I'm not getting paid for this. I feel really, really good. And you know, in the beginning, my mother used to say like, next time you should just charge $1 just so that people feel the responsibility of coming. I'm like, no, people will come either way because this is so valuable. Right. So I love my mother and, you know, she wasn't in the business world and wasn't giving me the right advice that I needed to hear, but I was happy that she did because by her telling me I need to charge for it, it made it more clear that I actually don't. So this is 100% free and I'm excited to do it. Okay. So we talked about the workbook. We talked about why it's free. We talked about the structure, the calm method. So I'm going to introduce myself first, just so that you know who I am. Some of you don't know me. Some of you are here for like the 8th time or 9th time. I'm really proud of you. Good job. I see you. I'm very proud. It makes me very excited to see all of you. So I am Revetzin Bat Chen Grossman. I live in Israel in Kochav Yaakov. I have 7 children. I'm married to a rabbi. I am a Revetzin, you know, that means leader in the community. It's a Yiddish word for all of you who don't know. I started out as a graphic designer. I was a graphic designer for 15 years before I had that shift over to the marriage coaching. As a graphic designer, I was going to all these conferences and networking events, and I was doing all the things in order to get, you know, get your name out, get the clients, get friends who are in the same niches, and how do we, you know, help each other. And in one conference specifically, I remember talking to a bunch of the women who were at the table. And one of the speakers was talking about like, grow big, think big, you know, like just completely break through. And the noises, the sounds that were coming from our table were like, yeah, but I'm going to have to pay for that, right? There's a price to pay for going big and I'm not ready for that. Or I don't need to go that big. I just need a little bit more. You know, there was this like feeling that we are holding ourselves back and it doesn't make any sense. So I actually spoke up and I asked my friends and I asked these new network people, I was like, why are we doing that to ourselves? Why are we holding ourselves back? And it turned out that we all believed that if we grow too much, if we get that big, then we're going to have to pay a price. And the price was usually the home, the marriage, you know, the children. There was something that was very high priority that we hold very dear as Jewish women that wasn't something we were willing to give up, right? And I totally agree. I myself was one of those women, right? And I came home and I really like was processing all this. And I was very upset with my husband because once I realized that he's the reason why I am holding myself back, I took it out on him. And it wasn't pretty. And so, you know, in the beginning, it was like this, like under the ground and like, and then it sort of like started elevating and then eventually it exploded. And so one day I found myself screaming at my husband, you're just jealous because you can't make it. And I am better than you. And I actually have clients and I have a job and I have this and that. And obviously that is not true. And he's not a loser and he's not blah, blah, blah. But like, I just felt all these feelings and they all just came out. And I said, and I can't go getting bigger and succeeding because of you. And he's like, what did I do? I was like, what do you mean? What did you do? You're holding me back. And like, how? Like, it hit him completely out of the blue. He had no idea he was doing this. And then I realized it's all in my head. Like, I am the one holding this entire story. And it was really eye-opening. it was annoying because obviously it's much easier to blame him than to have to deal with this. But once I realized it wasn't him and he said straight out, like, okay, let's just chill out here. I don't know what you're talking about. And thank God my husband and I are very mature. So like after we have explosions, we do sit down and talk about things. I'll go and I'll journal and I'll get it all out. And then I come back and I apologize. And then he's like, yeah, can we talk about this? Whatever. Anyway, we have our own way of dealing with things. But we eventually sat down and he was like, I am not jealous of you. I couldn't care less if you make more money than me. I am very happy if you go and make millions. Like, really? I'm not going to hold you back. And I was like, yeah, so why do I feel so stuck? Why do I feel so held back? Why do I feel like I can't go out there like all those people in the big world, right? Like it felt like we are in this bubble all holding ourselves back. And over there, they're all, you know, just like enjoying themselves. And he says, I don't know, let's, you know, go find out. And so I started researching, looking, hearing, trying to figure out from advice that, you know, felt like, you know, the advice out there, how do I make my marriage better? How do I strengthen my marriage to a point where like, I don't have to exploit my husband and I don't have to feel resentful and I don't have to be frustrated with him for what he's not doing. No, that was in parentheses, right? Because I didn't believe that at the time. And here's the problem that I ran into. The classic marriage advice is built for the old-fashioned marriage, where the husband's on top and the wife's on the bottom. And in order to create a good marriage, we want to get the wife to empower, you know, to be empowered enough that she can be an equal. But what happens is that at this point, we have empowered the women. Like I am a result of the generation of empowering women, right? And most of us are. There is this like push to empower the women, get them out of like being down here. You can do it. We can do anything. Okay, guys, like we're up here. We know better. We know more. We're doing stuff. They are lagging behind because nobody's sitting there empowering men, right? So we are really empowered and they are sort of just like, ah, okay. They're supposed to figure it out on their own. And in the beginning, and like I originally wanted to work with men. I'm like, let me just go empower men. But it doesn't work like that. I figured out now that like after many lessons, that I actually can empower men by empowering their wives. So I do this. It works much better, right? That was a side note. So we have women on top, men on bottom, and the same advice that used to work to empower women and make a better marriage is now creating a bigger gap because it empowers the women without giving them the tools to help their husbands. And it creates this like real distance. And so you end up having these wonderful, amazing women who are total go-getters and are successful and want to make a better, you know, a difference in the world. And they have a purpose and they have a mission and they feel like they're being held back by their husbands because in truth, we are one person, like we are one unit, right? We're not one person, but we are one unit. And so if he's lagging behind, he's holding you back just from the weight of, you know, his being. And it feels like I always thought it was like me walking up the hill, like carrying my husband up the hill, like dead weight, you know, like that's what it felt like. And when I finally figured it out and I cracked it for myself, and I didn't do this to teach anyone or to do anything, I really wanted to figure out in my own marriage and in my own life, I did it. I successfully made my marriage amazing. I felt like my husband was supporting me. My husband and I were communicating better. We were getting things done. He took on a lot more responsibilities. It just felt really good all around. Like I really felt like I had a team player. We were working together and I started getting really big clients. I started getting really good money. Like things started to work. Things started to really fall into place. And that's when all of the people around me were like, okay, you did what you said you were going to do. Now tell us how. And I was like, what do you mean? Tell us how? Like, I did not do this to teach anyone. And they're like, sit down and reverse engineer what you did and teach it to us because we all want to know. And that's how this whole thing started. I sat down and I really thought, what were the steps that I had to take with myself as working on myself as really, you know, sitting down with myself and really finding what is it that I need to do in order to get here and how to actually, and, you know, obviously it worked. So I'm looking backwards. What were the steps? And the steps came out to 4 steps. And, you know, thankfully God really sent it as a wonderful little method that ended up being a lot more awesome than I thought it would, right? Like if I was making it myself, maybe it would just be like, okay, the call method. But this is like really powerful. And I give full credit to God for guiding me through this. There's 4 steps. And the acronym CALM is what I use in order to remember. Okay. So CALM stands for connect to yourself. That's step 1. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Ask for abundance. And that's tomorrow, step 2. Step 3 is listen for the answer. And step 4 is master a higher level of consciousness. And we're going to talk about that on day 4. So you can see now, it's a mitzvah for free. I really appreciate it. I am so glad that you're here. And I'm so glad that you keep coming back. You know, what makes me happy is that people keep coming back. Like you would think that once you go through it, you're like, okay, I know everything she has to say, bye. But no, like people keep coming back because it's so valuable. And every time you do it, you learn something else. So I'm really proud of you guys. Those who are here for not the first time, you are doing yourself like such a gift, such a service, because going back to it and repeating it and realigning is one of the best things you could do yourself. So thank you for that comment. So back to the days. As I said, the first 4 days today, tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday are going to all be the CALM method, but each day stands on its own. So if you miss a day and you can't make it up for whatever reason, which I highly recommend, there will be recordings on the WhatsApp group. You'll get the link. And also on the podcast, they will eventually join. Eventually, they will be up on the podcast. If you can't be in one of them where you feel like, oh, that's it, I lost it, I can't. No, like, don't give up on yourself. It's not all or nothing. Like, jump right in. It's okay. Okay. I wanted to just make sure you know that. Why is my specialty woman in business? Because I had to go through this, right? When I was going through my shift of, oh my gosh, God doesn't want me to be a graphic designer anymore. Now I'm starting to hear, you know, hear the shift. And it was during a pregnancy and I started praying every day. It was a long story that really sort of took me a new direction. And when I really thought about what does my niche, like what is my niche? Because as a graphic designer, I was teaching people to niche down all the time. So it's like, okay, I can give advice, right? That wasn't good enough. So I was like, I could give marriage advice. And from there it went to like, yeah, but it's really specific. It's not just marriage advice. It's marriage advice for the woman who is up here, right? It's like, it's a different type of marriage advice. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Any questions before we get into the meat of it? No questions. Great. If you have any questions, you can put them in the chat and I'll try to get back to them. Okay. So rule number 1, are you ready? This is the first thing I had to learn myself. This is the first thing that really shifted everything. And it's the first thing I always teach. Men want to protect and provide, right? They have a woman, they have a girl, they are here to protect and provide. This is how they are programmed. This is how God made them. And while we're dating, it's all fun and games, right? Because he says something and you laugh, or he, you know, makes a joke and you react and he does something, right? And like, we have this cute back and forth and there's a good ping pong going. And somewhere along the way, when we get married, something happens where we stop reacting. And so he starts feeling like, what's going on? It's not working anymore. Something is, you know, wrong with me. Because there is no feedback. Okay. And your husband, he measures his success by how happy you are. Okay. That is just how it works. You can have the most successful man in the world. He has buildings and real estate and money and workers and teams and whatever. He could be like the most important person in the world. But if he comes home and his wife is like, ugh, you're just not enough. It's just not enough. Nothing you do is enough, blah, 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 right? Like all the negativity, he is going to feel not enough. He is going to feel like a loser. He is going to feel like he cannot get his act together. Why is it that everyone else likes me, that everybody finds my jokes funny, that everybody thinks I am cool, but then I come home and the one person who matters is just, it's not working. It must be something is wrong with me, right? So the way that they see their own success is by how happy you are. Here's where it gets interesting. For some reason, we are conditioned to not be okay with being fully happy. Like when people know me too much, like, you know, like school and college, whatever, it's like, you're too happy. And it's like, there's something wrong with being too happy, right? Like we are made to feel bad about being too happy. Like we're waiting for the shoe to drop or something, right? There's something wrong with being happy. And obviously there's nothing wrong with being happy, but it's how we feel. Like we hold ourselves back. We're uncomfortable being happy. I don't know if it's an internal thing or if it's an external thing, right? Like conditioning or whatever, but whatever it is, this is a huge problem because if we're uncomfortable being fully happy and he's measuring himself by how happy we are, that's where the problem starts. That's where we have a real issue. And that's the first place we need to start looking. Now, it would be really awesome if he could go to a bookstore, pick up a book that's called How to Make Your Wife Happy. And he would look inside and it would say exactly what to do and he would do it and it would work. Except there is no such thing. Because each one of us is happy from different things. Like we are so unique. We are so different. What makes me happy doesn't make you happy. What makes you happy doesn't make me happy. And so there is no big book. There is no some like magical formula and he can't figure it out, right? And we're like, he's supposed to know. How is he supposed to know? Anybody, just tell me, like, how is he supposed to know? He's not supposed to know. There's no such thing. He doesn't know. And he's looking to make you happy and he has no idea. And if he only knew, it would be really, really wonderful. And no, they do not read minds. I've tried. Guaranteed. Men do not read minds. Okay, so I'm going to put in the chat, oh, you're so cute. Okay, so one second, I'm going to put the workbook again for those who didn't come, who weren't in late. Okay, let's see. Thank you for acknowledging my comment to you and welcoming me back. You're amazing. Classes are a gift, Shem. Oh, you're so sweet. I love you. Okay, bills, tuition, and higher rent happens. Yes, it does. And, you know, life is going to happen if we can be a unit, if we can be there for each other. Oh, like life is so much smoother, right? Like, we're going to talk about that tomorrow, by the way. Okay. In the day where we ask. Okay. So open your workbooks to page one, which is day one. You're going to see there is a page for each day. I made it black and white, really easy to print, so it doesn't take up too much ink. I'm really mindful of those things. Okay. So in page one, you're going to open, and we're going to start by getting really clear on what makes you happy. Why are we doing this? Because you are unique. Nothing is going to be, one size fits all or nothing, all these things. Like, no, we are human. Hashem made us so unique. And each one of us likes different things. Okay. So let's go through page one together. Okay. The first thing is, I want you to write a list of the things that you like. Right? A list of things I like. I like smoothies. I like walks. I like being outside in nature. I'm giving you some of mine. You can put them in the chat too. And you can see, once we put them in the chat, how many things come up that you're like, I don't like that. Right? The first time we did this, my mother was on and she wrote, I love the Dead Sea. And I was like, I don't. Right? Like, my mother and I were very, very similar in a lot of things, but there's just things that she loves that I can't stand. And there's things that I love that she just looks at me like, okay. Right? So we're all like that. And that's beautiful. Okay. So let's see in the chat, who can tell us what things they like? Ooh, massage, lunch with friends, quiet time. I love it. I love it. And you're going to see this list will continue. Thank you for sharing. This list will continue and it's going to feel repetitive, but actually we're coming at it from different angles just to let your head come up with more things. Now, let me give you guys some reassurance here. You will not come up with as many things as you want to come up with at first, because sometimes you're just not used to thinking about the things you like, because we're always putting ourselves down on the bottom of the list if we're on the list at all, right? Like, sometimes we're not even on the list. I totally am with you there. And so we're not used to it, okay? So we're going to keep moving along the list. So we said the things that I like, things that make me happy, right? So for example, personally, my love language is words of affirmation and quality time. So what makes me happy is a little note, nice words, just walking together and talking, right? I love that stuff. Like, I really connect more with quality time and words of affirmation than I would with just like spending a lot of money somewhere or going to some like fancy thing. Like, it's less my vibe, right? But that doesn't mean it's not your thing. So just allow yourself to become aware of what makes you happy. Coffee, alone time, nature, flowers, planting, massage, bath. I love it. I love it. Nature, oceans, and learning about new people and places and ideas. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Oh, I love it. Good job, guys. You come up with good things. Okay, the next thing is the things that ground me. And for you, maybe for you, this is totally obvious. Maybe some people don't know what this means, so I'm going to explain it a little bit. When I feel like a balloon, like I feel like I'm floating, I feel like I'm not really like fully present, the things that help me become more grounded, the things that really bring me back to like feeling like myself, are reflexology, are taking a bath or taking a nap, drinking water. Anything that has to do with water is awesome. I'm grounded when I do yoga. That's why I put yoga as a priority every single week. Like, we start the week with yoga. There's an amazing teacher here. I love her. I go to all her classes, but she only gives classes once a week. So I make it a priority to go, right? Because I know it grounds me. I know it will change my entire week if I can just be present and be grounded. Okay. Give me some examples of what grounds you. Yes, tefillah, prayer. Amazing. That's an amazing example of something that grounds you. Tai Chi, walking on the ocean. Oh, you're saying ocean. And I'm like, oh, I haven't seen the ocean for a while. I love that. Walk, Tehillim, beautiful bath. Yes. Again, water is the biggest therapeutic thing ever. It's so good. Sun, another thing that's therapy. Outside, breathing. Yes. Yoga, EFT, time with my son. I love it. You guys are so great. And these are things that you're going to write in your list, in your workbook. And the reason why this workbook is going to become so valuable and such an asset in your life is because you keep coming back and filling it up every time with more and more things. So you end up with a really rich list of things that you can then turn to. Okay. And I'm going to tell you about it how more in a couple of minutes. The next question is the little simple things that light me up. What are the simple things that light you up? What is like something that's super simple, super little, super light that, oh, that's just like adds, you know, pizzazz or changes everything. It just feels so good. Let's see. Journaling is grounding and checking off items on the to-do list is also grounding for me. Amazing. So much self-awareness. I love it. And you've been here, you know, long enough to, to be an advanced student. So I'm really proud of you. Awesome. Thank you for sharing. It's difficult for me to think about myself and my own needs. Bingo. Thank you for that. Honesty. I love it. Thank you for that. So beautiful. It's difficult for me to think about myself and my own needs. Notice that what we're talking about is what you want, what makes you happy. Right? The first step, connect to yourself, is what do I want? And it's the hardest step for women. Because not only do we have to think of ourselves, not only do we have to go beyond the needs, we have to get to the wants. We have to actually think thriving. We're not even in survival mode. We have to push ourselves past surviving to thriving. And this is where it gets really hard for us. And that's why this is such an important exercise, because when we can push ourselves out of that cycle of I'm always at the bottom of the list, I always just need to make sure I survive and move on and take care of everyone else and not really think about what I want because I can't get what I want anyway. So why do I bother thinking? That thought process is what keeps us down there, is actually what makes our marriage so weak. Because our husbands want to provide and protect. They want to give you the things you want, not just the things you need. The things you need, you're going to get anyway. The things you want, this is what lights your husband up. And so your job, in order to make your marriage super strong, thriving, is your job is to get really, really clear on what you want. What would make this so fun? What would light you up? What would make you go woohoo? And what would ground you, right? So children's laughter, such a beautiful example, right? I love it. I love it. Okay, so the little things. For example, I love flowers. Like, you see these flowers behind me? I bought them. They were on sale. The guy said, they're usually 10 shekels, but I'll give them to you for 5. So of course I took 2 because I don't usually go to a planting, you know, like the guy who sells plants, but I happened to be there with some friends who were going and I wasn't planning on buying anything, but these were just so fun and happy. And I thought these are going to just make me come alive, right? Like I see them and it makes me like, I want that in my life. I'm willing to pay 10 shekels for this. Right. And then they were sitting here all week on my table and I'm like, oh, I need to bring them into my retreat. Right. Like, this is so fun. It makes my experience richer and it is not a necessity. Right. It is not something I need to survive. It's something that I get because I want it. It's something that fills me up. This is something, in my opinion, like a little thing. Also, when my husband comes, you know, and gives me a rose, that's something that really lights me up. Oh, and I actually have to tell you the story. So yeah, I can't forget about that because that's a good story. Let's get to the bottom of the list. We have here foods or snacks that lift my spirit. And here is a really great place to think about food. And a lot of times they tell you, like, you know, emotional eating and be very careful with what foods you're allowing or not allowing or whatever. But when you enjoy your food, you will not be needing as much of it, right? She said, oh, I made chocolate. Do you want to taste it? So, you know, she melts chocolates and puts some like things inside, nuts and whatever. And then she freezes it. And I got this little cube of chocolate and she brought like a plate full of it. And I just took one and I'm sitting there. I'm like, and I'm like licking it really slowly and enjoying every bite. And I'm like, really? And she's like, if I ate chocolate, like you eat chocolate, then I wouldn't look like this. Like, I'm enjoying my chocolate. I'm not holding myself back from enjoying something I like, right? But I also am enjoying it. I'm not just like eating it for, you know, numbing sake. And that's the big difference. So when we're talking about foods or snacks that lift your spirit, it's really important for you to know what you do like, so that instead of avoiding the things you like and eating the things you don't like, you eat the things you like and they fill you up. Okay? It's really important. Examples of this, if you know me already, if you've been following me long enough. So I love smoothies. I love dates with nuts. I love banana with peanut butter. And I add some chia seeds on top to make it look cool. What else? I'm trying to think what else. I love salads. Ever since we were in high school, everybody was like, let's make fettuccine Alfredo. And I was like, let's make a salad. I just love salads. And it took a while for me to like actually mature and be like, yes, I actually love them, because it wasn't cool. So you don't want to be the not cool one to say I love salad, but it's the truth. Let's see. Ingredients I love to have on hand that enhance my meal. An example of this is cilantro. Some people love cilantro, some people hate cilantro. But if you are a person who loves cilantro or parsley or anything else that adds pizzazz to your food, could you imagine if you were making a dish and you just like had pre-cut cilantro on hand, you just like threw a bunch on the top? It would make you so happy, right? Like, I'm talking from experience here. Or slivered almonds or craisins. Or I don't know, come up with your own ingredient that makes you feel like, oh, upgrade, right? Like, we go to these fancy restaurants and all they do is they feed us the same food that we would have made ourselves, but it just looks so much better. So I want you to notice the things that are just those little touches and start allowing yourself to have them. Give yourself permission. I know someone who loves to go out to eat, you know, like to drink her hot cocoa, just because there's that like foam on top. So she got herself a foamer. Like, it was like, I don't know, $10. It's like this little machine and that's it. It just makes foam. Like, it is the biggest upgrade of my life. Like, I have no idea, because I don't drink coffee or, you know, whatever, but I don't drink milk. But these are the little things, the little ingredients or the little hacks that will make you feel amazing. Okay. I don't see anything else on the chat, so I'm going to keep going. And the last one. If money wasn't an issue, I would do more of these things. And I'll tell you a story about this. When I was doing the first retreat, so I did my own homework. And I do this, by the way, often, because I always like to do what you do before so that I can make sure it works. And I wrote in this section, if money wasn't an issue, I would get reflexology, massage, facials. You know, I started thinking big. And then I was like, no way. There is absolutely no way I could afford reflexology. Like, it's something I love. And by the way, it's one of the things that ground me. But where would I, you know, it's so expensive here. And suddenly out of the blue, somebody posted on the WhatsApp group, I am studying reflexology and I need people who want to be like guinea pigs, you know, 50 shekel a session. And I was like, yes, me, count me in, please. You know, I was like, me. And I signed up. And ever since then, I've been doing it like nonstop because it is so fun to feel like $1 million. Right. By now, she raised her price, I think, to like 90 shekels. Still not crazy amount. And it's something that really makes me, it like takes me to the next level. And I see it's worth it because I am functioning differently, right? And we're gonna talk more about, you know, these types of magic, not magic, but like miracles that happen when things are aligned, which is very fun. Okay, so we are done with the workbook. I want you to take a minute to really see if anything else comes up for you and if you want to add anything else that's unique and personal to you. The point here is that you can get out of your own way. You can give yourself permission to have the things you want, to have the things you like. I'm giving you permission if you needed it. If money wasn't an issue, I would spend more time on self-development. Isn't that beautiful? I love it. Thank you for sharing. By the way, well, the first time I hired a coach, I had no money. We were super poor. And I was like, there is no way I can get a coach. And I know if I'm going to open a business and really take this to the next level, I need a coach. And I'm like, I can't afford one. And so I decided that it's free to find a coach because there's all these freebies and things. So instead of stressing about how I'm going to pay for a coach, I decided to focus on which coach would be the right coach for me. And I trusted that when I found her, then by then I'd be able to pay for it. Like I would figure it out. Something would come together. And that's exactly what happened. Once I found her, after doing all the freebies and learning all the things I could do, you know, for free, I ended up finding the one that I really, really connected to. And then the one conversation I had with her that was a free conversation led me to a client that ended up paying me a lot of money to do something that I easily could do. And that paid for the coaching. So it was amazing. Win-win. Okay. So sometimes the stress of knowing that I can't have it stops you from looking for it. But if you actually focus on trusting, it will come. And we can talk more about that tomorrow. If I had all the money, I would go to Israel a lot. Yay. Come visit me. I would love to see you. Okay. I love seltzer and enjoying adding pink Himalayan or mineral salt to my foods. I also love steak and dark chicken. I love the dark chicken cutlet best. Yay. I love it that you get so granular, because then you know what to buy, you know what to ask for, you know what to look for. You get so self-aware this way just by knowing what you like. It's amazing. You know, it's the little things like these that make the biggest difference. I love it. Okay. Let's do a short meditation because as you know me, if you know me, then I can't go without one. Okay. Let's go. Take a deep breath in. Relax your shoulders. Take a moment to become aware of what's holding you. Maybe you're sitting, maybe you're ground, your feet are on the ground. Maybe you're on a bed. Whatever it is holding you. You are safe, you're grounded. You're present. And in your mind, I want you to start taking a walk in this beautiful place. Look around. Take a deep breath with the fresh air. The smells are amazing. There's plants and flowers and trees and the most gorgeous colors and the sunshine. There's beauty. Breathe that in. Let it really seep into you. It's all a gift from God. God could have made it black and white. He could have made the world smellless or tasteless. But he didn't. He made this magnificent, amazing, beautiful world so that you can enjoy it. Put your hands on your heart and say, I am worthy of enjoying this world. I don't have to do anything to deserve being happy. God made all this for me. Take a deep breath and think of something, one thing that you're super grateful right now. It could be something big, something small, whatever comes up for you. Bring a smile to your face, and when you're ready, you can come back and open your eyes, shake it out, whatever feels good to you. How did that feel? It's amazing. Thank you for sharing. Fabulous. Oh, what a beautiful word. Everything is a gift from God. Yes. Yes. And when you realize that God made this for you to enjoy, right? So who are you not to enjoy it? Who am I not to let myself have the things I want? Right? And here's a wonderful reminder that the things that you want were actually placed there by God in order to guide you to where you need to go, right? So it's not just like, oh, I want these things and I'm not supposed to have them. No, you want these things so that you can know what to go after. That's why it's step one, connect to yourself and know what you want. It was so beautiful. And I promised you I was going to tell you a story about me and, you know, feeling happy and deserving and all that stuff. So I'm going to tell you I get chills every time. So I'm super excited. So basically, I went to a marriage class. My mother always laughs, like, why are you going to these classes? You can give them yourself. This was probably 10 years ago. I went to this class and it was, I think, like 10 of us sitting around. And the first five classes, she taught the sessions and like she really had us do these exercises to ground, you know, like solidify it. And then the next five sessions, we were supposed to bring situations from our houses and our marriages, and we were going to work them through with everyone. And I couldn't come up with anything. I really couldn't. I'm like, my marriage is fine. Everything's great, blah, blah, blah. But then like mid-sentence, I cut her off and I was like, I got it. I got it. I know what it is. Here I am. I have this beautiful castle and everything is perfect and beautiful and colorful and totally my vibe. And my husband walks into my castle and throws black all over it. It's just like negativity and criticism and icky and blah, you know, like the energy is just blah and I can't stand it. And that's what makes me crazy, you know? And I started laughing because I realized how funny I sounded. But I'm like, you guys don't understand. I'm like the queen of my castle. My castle is my thing, you know, like everything's so beautiful and so wonderful and so perfectly like yum and this and that. And then he comes and like, ruins it all. Like he literally is throwing black all over my colorful walls and like, it's terrible. You're saying LOL, but it just felt so real. And the teacher, the coach, the woman, I really love her. She's such an amazing advisor. She's so smart. She's like, looks at me and she's like, I see. And I'm like, what? You know, I'm like waiting for her to fix my life. Like, what's going on? What is it? And she says, well, basically, you're being dependent on your husband for your happiness. And I was like, what? Nuh-uh. I'm like the happiest person, you know, like here is my identity being questioned. But she's like, okay, whatever. I'm just leaving it out here. I'm putting this down. You can pick it up when you're ready. You're dependent on your husband for your happiness. When he's unhappy, when he's throwing black all over, then it upsets you because your happiness is being splashed. And it was so difficult to understand. Like it wasn't sitting right. But that night I came home. My husband never asks me anything about any of these classes. It's just not the way we vibe. Like my husband couldn't care less. I sometimes will say something interesting I learned, but it's not like he's interested, like, oh, what did you learn today? It's not like that. So I come home, I didn't say a thing about it, nothing. We got ready to go to bed. He fell asleep right away. And I'm sitting there in my bed going, I'm dependent on him for my happiness. What? And I get into this like meditative state, you know, I like took deep breaths and I'm just like trying to figure this out, sort of like letting my mind do the work. And suddenly I see this hook, like a hanger thing, like a pole. And by the way, I have to tell you, the word dependent in Hebrew is hanging on, like hung on, okay? Talui. So my happiness is hanging on my husband. That's what she said, like in Hebrew. And I see this pole, and I see all these hangers, like hooks on it. And there's a bunch of things hanging there. It's not just my happiness. Like, I'm like, man, that's a lot of things I'm hanging on my husband for. And so there is like happiness, but there's also security and there's also stability and there's all these things. And I'm like, I see these things in my mind's eye. And it frightened me. Like, I am so dependent on my husband for all these things. And I remember consciously thinking, I don't want to be dependent on you for this. And then suddenly I guess I created, or I saw in my mind's eye, like this round hook, like, you know, like that you put the towels through. So I had this round hook up here that represented God. And I just in my mind went like unclicked from my husband's hanger thing. and clicked onto God's. And I was like, I don't want to be dependent on my husband for my happiness anymore. I want to be dependent on you, Hashem. And I don't want to be dependent on him for my stability anymore. I just want to be dependent on you. And I don't want to be dependent on my security for him. I want to be dependent on you. And then I just kept going, all these things that came up. And I was like shocked at how much I had hanging there and how relieving it was to unhook myself and hook myself onto God. And when I had all the little hangers hanging on God's round hanging thing, whatever that was, I took a deep breath. Then I went to sleep and I just felt like, I get it. Like, this is it. This is what was holding me back. And I thought that was it. I just felt really good. I felt like it all just like, you know, it's not on me anymore. Like, I felt the relief, really, like such relief. And I didn't tell anything. I didn't say anything to anyone. I cannot explain to you what happens next because I do not know how this happened. But the next day, out of the blue, I found a rose on my desk in a little vase. And by the way, this is the first time this happened, probably in 10 years of marriage, when every single week I tell my husband, I like roses. I like flowers. I like when you do little things for me. Nothing. Okay. So like, he knows what I like. But out of the blue, this rose in a little vase is sitting on my dresser. And I walk into my room and I see it and it's gorgeous. And I was like, whoa, what's this? This is, wow, this is so fun. Like, what is this? And my husband's like, I don't know. I just felt like I needed to get you something. I saw it outside. I felt like I needed to, you know, cut it and put it in a nice vase and put it here for you because I love you. And I was like, what? And I mean, then I connected it. I was like, oh my gosh, right? Like, there must be something that happened that I cannot explain, but it is magical. It is absolutely magical. And then of course I took pictures of it. I sent it to all my family. It was all the chats. It was on Instagram. I was like, this makes me so happy. I didn't tell them the whole behind the scenes story. I didn't tell them my husband got me a flower. Oh my gosh. For the first time in 10 years, I was just like, this makes me so happy. This makes me so happy. I love roses. I love flowers. I love blah, blah, blah. Right. And my husband saw the reaction and he went and like remembered it. And so now for a couple of years, it's been really fun. Like random roses will just show up on my desk. Right. And it's so exciting. And every time it surprises me again, because it's something that it doesn't matter how many times I told him, it just never happened. And we're just, you know, different love languages. He just didn't get it, but apparently he did. And there was something that needed to happen for me to like release and let him be. And it worked. It was just amazing. So this is something that I tell because I want you to know how much your husband wants to make you happy. And I want you to realize and bring a little bit of awareness to sometimes what we do to meddle with that. Okay. So sometimes just releasing yourself from needing him to do something or be more different or why is he so negative? So this, so that, so the other. Like, he can be negative. I don't have to be dependent on that. Was what freed him to then become less negative. Was what freed him to go and do the things that really light me up. So that was really amazing. Two things I know, 9:01, we're exactly at the hour. I want to tell you two really important things. And then I'll answer questions in the chat if you have any. Okay. One thing is, why are we making this list? One time I had an implementation call and there was a lady who said, great, yesterday you taught us that basically we don't need our husbands in order to be happy. So I don't need him anymore. Like, no, that is not what I am saying. What I'm saying is you don't need your husband in order for you to be happy. And once you are fully happy, then your husband is going to start reacting to that. He's going to start feeling good about himself. He's going to start to develop and finally come alive when he doesn't feel like, you know, somebody is dependent on him to do things. Like, he doesn't have to be happy for my sake. He needs to be happy for his own sake. So when it stops being about me, he can take responsibility for himself. Okay. This is really important. And number two, let me see, because I forgot the second thing that somebody said that was really funny. Oh, okay. The other thing, this list is not only what you turn to when you want to like thrive and get, you know, from here to there, like, yay, I can do all these things and actually start to thrive. That's awesome. But this is also the list you're going to turn to when you fall, when you feel really down, when you can't figure it out, when you like just like see black all over. This is what saves my life every time. Okay. I am human, just like you. I'm not high all the time. I'm not like, woohoo, jumping up and down every single day. I have my highs and lows. I have my ups and downs. I have my life, right? And the fact that I know what to turn to, and the fact that I have a structure in place that makes sure that I'm always feeding this need to develop and grow, is what keeps me going. And so I want you to turn to this list for when you're down and you need to come up, and also for when you're good and you want to get better, okay? When you want to thrive. So this is a really, really valuable list. I want you to keep adding to the list. I want you to, if this isn't your first time, go back and see what you wrote last time. Like, start combining lists. It's really fun. I have a list that's, I think, like, I don't know, 40 something things long. And there's like different sections, you know, like things that have to do with water, things that have to do with money, things that don't have to do with money, things that I can do right away, things that have to do with food, whatever, right? Like, I categorize it so that sometimes I'm just like, oh, I feel like eating something. I'm not sure what. Oh, let me look at my list. Maybe I could come up with something, right? It's really exciting. Okay. Now your homework is look at your list, pick one thing from your list and do it. In the next 24 hours, you need to do something for yourself that you want, that you like, that makes you happy, that makes you come alive. Okay. I don't care what it is. And this is where keeping your own promises to yourself really comes in handy, right? Because if you had homework for someone else, you would do it. But, you know, telling yourself, oh, I'm going to go and make myself a salad, or, oh, I'm actually going to go into the bath and like light little candles, or, oh, I'm going to make myself a smoothie, or I'm going to, you know, hot cocoa with a little fluff on top. Whatever it is that makes you come alive and you want to do, go and do it. And then for accountability, show us a picture. You could do a picture of the thing. You don't have to do a picture of yourself. You could, you know, whatever it is, but show us that you did it. Okay. Because we want to keep you accountable. That is what the WhatsApp group is for. Okay. And last but not least, there is a raffle this time around. I am raffling 2 VIP sessions with me. Each one is, you know, I don't usually do just one-off VIP sessions, but when I do, they're $297 each. So this is a really very exciting value. There is a form that you can fill out. The form will take you to, you know, who did you share it with? Did you share it? You can fill it as many times as you want. Share the retreat with people. Now that you experienced day one, they can catch up day one, but this is something that a lot of people can really gain from. So share this around, make sure your friends join day two, make sure that, you know, they're in the system, because the more people you invite, the more people you help, but also the more chances you get to getting a free VIP with me. And two people are going to win. So we're going to do that on day seven. Okay. So go check out the raffle form, fill it out as many times as you share. So if you invite seven friends, you're welcome to fill it out seven times. I'm more than happy to add you as many times as you'd like to the raffle, but you actually have to invite people. Okay. Or share it with groups or whatever it is. They can still watch the replay. And tomorrow we are talking about ask for abundance, and we're going to actually connect to God. I'm not sure you guys realize, but the calm method goes through a process where you connect to yourself, then you connect to God, and then you connect to your husband. So we're actually going to get to your husband on day three. Have no fear. We will talk about him, but he's actually not the first thing we talk about, because as you saw, there's a lot more behind it. Okay. Any questions or are we done? Give me a thumbs up. All good. Wonderful. I'm so happy. Oh, lots of love. Thank you so much. I love you all. I will see you here tomorrow. Same time, same place. And we're going to talk about God and some of the God baggage. Exciting, right? Bye. Love you.
It's me again, Rebbetzin Bapren Grossman, and I wanted to make sure that you loved it. If you want to go deeper and actually come live to the sessions of the Marriage Breakthrough Retreat, please visit connectedforreal.com/retreat. As part of the retreat, you get to meet one-on-one with me on an implementation call, and you have access to that link when you sign up. Make sure you download the workbook. You have also access to the WhatsApp group and a bunch of other bonuses. So go and enjoy. connectedforreal.com/retreat.